This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Paul, good morning and welcome. It's good to see you. The 5 points. I say that today. I know what that means. You know what that means. Uh-huh. I don't know if the kids know what it means.
Yeah. Well, they probably don't refer to, you know, 5 points out here in the Near East where Tolly's used to be on on the corner, and five roads came together, so they call it five. Is it like a massive intersection?
Yeah, if you looked at it from above, it would be probably freak you out a little bit.
Yeah, and that's a pretty active place, and I wrote this week that's where, you know, used to have tamale wagons there, and you pull up and buy hot tamales.
The tamale man.
Yeah. Carl Watson, and he made, in fact, his wife, as I indicated in this week's scrapbook article, his wife actually made the tamales in the basement of their home. Carl went out and sold them, and they were unlike anything that I've ever had since, and a granddaughter still has that formula, and every once in a while, when she makes them, she doesn't make them very often. She'll give a call or something, say, you want some tamales?
You're like, yes.
Yeah. So anytime I eat like a batch of those, which I did here about a week ago, it's like this may be the last of these of the Watson formula, you know, that I have. But when I did this story, it's been several years ago, I was able to go to the home and see the kitchen and the utensils and everything else, which was kind of neat. Where she made them, and then after I did the story, she made me a big batch, you know. And she said at one time she was offered $100 to make just a batch with someone who really loved them. But it was a very special taste to those, and I've never tasted it anywhere else.
All right, so how long ago would this have been? Like, when did it end?
In the early 1960s. So,
okay. Yeah,
it's been a long time ago. But in the 40s and 50s, they're at 5 points on that. They had a tamale wagon, and there on a Friday night, and that's when we usually would get them. You know, Dad pull the car up there, and Dad, Mom, brother, and get the tamales.
What a great memory. You got a picture today in the Tribune of the Pine Shopping Center, which I have a lot of memories as a kid. I wouldn't have been around for the tamale guy, but the 5 points, and Schwartz was there, right? My childhood for years.
Yeah, across the on the south south part of that.
That were, you know, you go to get the pies and the train track running around the top of the restaurant, and then the banquet facility next door that had one of those wheelchair lift things where you sit in the chair and it takes you upstairs.
Yeah.
Do you remember all that?
Well, remember the board where they had all the red lights for the pies?
For pies that were available.
Yeah, when they were sold out, the light would go off.
Yeah.
So you could go in there and look and say, hey, although those are left. And, you know, you go in, you have to take a number a lot of times because they were so crowded and wait to be seated.
You bet.
That. Yeah. And great food, and just the best. And as you say, that was in that same area, too. It was a very active area, a lot of things happening. Tolly's market was located there. That was a big deal, you know, back then.
And the currency exchange was there for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And also a dime store,
you
know, was there. But, back then, that was kind of an upscale shopping center.
That was your mall for years and years. You know, I think about the grocery stores that came later, you know, but those smaller stores, Cloyd's and, you know, all the others that were around town.
Yeah. Well, Tolly's started there kind of on East Wood Street, and they stayed open 24 hours a day. They didn't even have a door they could lock, so they never closed. So, and then when they opened the one up over in the Pines, that was just, I mean, they had like a big conveyor belt and everything. They had donuts, you know, coming down the conveyor that you could pick up and eat while you shopped. And, yeah, that was, you know, back then, I think a lot of things were evolving and changing, and there at 5 points, you've kind of got a lot of the best of what was offered in Decatur, you know, in that Near East side of town. But
well, and you think about, A.E. Staley and, you know, where the jobs were, where people were coming in and out, and it was just a different time, right? We didn't have, you go back to that time, there wasn't, an El Dorado full of fast food restaurants.
Yeah, well, and you had, even at 5 points, you had probably the first Kentucky Fried Chicken. You couldn't go in there and sit and eat and anything. You just pulled up. It was there right near the railroad tracks.
That's great.
And it's so you start reflecting on that and the connection you have. Of course, my parents, my brother have all passed on. But there are things that connect you to special times in your family life. That and
those, great memories.
Yeah, and you, those tamales every time well, you eat those.
You know, isn't that the truth though about a community? You know, kids are doing it today with you know whatever new thing, but you know, it Elam's you know was the same way, right?
Oh, yeah,
that experience of being there and the young kids and the unique way you would get your food and the Coney dogs and all this stuff. It is crazy. All these those food memories seem to be the ones that hold.
You know, yeah, that's a good point. It seems like what you, the places you ate, the places you went like that, and particularly when you was in something, that those memories are just stuck, you know, in your mind. And you'll see something somewhere along the way today and say, that reminds me of when Elam's was out there.
Right. And people are going to be talking about that like the Crackles, you know, 50 years from now, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever pizza place there might be. There was a, I saw in your column today, the Roadhouse Grill closed down. I'm not familiar with this place.
Yeah, it's where Pizza Hut used to be up there on North Main and
coming south.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just I think Taco Bell used to be right
okay.
next to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so I was sorry to hear that. I intended to go in there, and I think it was only open about a year. I intended to go in there, and I just didn't make it. But every report I heard from anyone who went in there had a birthday party or anything else. Yeah. It was a great place. So
yeah, it is such a the reason I mention it is it is such a cycling thing, you know. Restaurants, man, if you just start the ones that have come and gone, you know, in your lifetime, the list becomes very, very long. It's a very tough business. You know, when you think about a Crackles that's been in existence forever, that's the odd man out in those stories.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think probably a lot of that has to do with the product that they have. And people get so familiar. And it's almost a tradition that we have family members come in from out of town where they want to go, you know, Crackles and Monocles, you know, while they're here because they don't have that where they live in another state. And a lot of that probably dates back to their childhood when they were younger. And I really hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it earlier, but a lot of the memories that we want to relive, we can relive through food. You know, we can relive through Crackles or used to be Steak and Shake. It's changed quite a bit now, but, you know, I went to Steak and Shake when I was a kid with my parents.
But it's, Lindsay's got family members that's the thing. I mean, they're there every week, you know, to do that thing and years and years and decades and decades. The tamale, man. I had heard stories. I don't have any personal memories, but man, now you made me want a tamale, Paul. I don't know. Where do I go to get a good tamale?
I don't know. Maybe the listeners can suggest, you know.
There's a good tamale somewhere.
I've tried, you know, some of the store-bought ones, different ones, and it's just not the same, the texture and everything else.
See, and if you're my age, it was the Sancho from Taco Amigo. And I think Todd tried to master that at the beach house or got a hold of the recipe. So I guarantee you can go talk to anybody of any age today and go back to, like, the childhood thing that you still remember that you can't quite find in life or replicate. Everyone has one of those.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what ties a lot of us together. You start talking about memories of food, and you'll have people talking about their favorite
places.
Those
Sanchos were unbelievable.
Yeah. And you start thinking, when did all that start? You know,
wasn't one of the television anchors involved?
Jerry Slabe, yeah, he had one.
The Taco Amigo store, many, many years ago.
Yeah, man, that brings back a lot of memories. Jerry's been gone like what, forever? I think he went to Michigan or somewhere, didn't he? I think so.
Last time we talked about it, I heard from a family member, and I'm trying to recall, I mean, it's been a few years, but there was, TV was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you do the creature feature stuff and the Friday nights, watch the scary movies.
Yeah. Well, and just like they
with
became
Mike Cheever.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah. But what was his? It was Dr. something or other. He had a different disguise like every Friday night that everybody.
Because, I mean, you turn on like, well, WAD was, you know, literally, you know, Friday nights, they'd play some old scary movie and, you know, they had a local host and Mike Cheever was that guy. I went to school with his kid. And that was a big deal.
Yeah. You know, those were fun times. You think back, you know, in so many ways, they were so amateur. you know, compared to the technology.
Yeah. That was part of the whole shtick.
Yeah. It made it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you play these movies from the 1930s.
Now I got to get a creature feature, a Sancho, and a tamale. Thanks,
you.
Paul.
Hey.
I'm going to be on a Holy Grail quest for the next few days.
Day in paradise.
You can read all about it in the Decatur Tribune. Sorry to hear about the other restaurant, though. I hate when people, have a dream and they start something up and it doesn't work out. I was not familiar with the Roadhouse Grill, but sorry to hear that they closed. Yeah. It's tough. That's a tough business. I mean, it really, really is.
Well, and you have so many things going on now, too, in taxation, employment problems. You know, I've had restaurant owners say, you know, we have to close this afternoon. We can't get anybody to come in.
Yeah.
And so that didn't used to be a problem. I think you face in that industry a lot of challenges you didn't even have before. You know, and let alone getting people to come to your place and serving them then. And I think we're seeing that in a few other places around town. And I hope that they're able to survive and then prosper, because I hate to see any of these businesses. Many of them, you know, are local folks running them. They have a dream, and that's what they want to do in life. And I don't like to see them go down.
No, it's always, always bad news. All right. We were talking earlier about there's proposed legislation that would take away the driving test for people 75 and over here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to a 2-year driver's license until you're 87 or something like that. But the law now is once you're 75 plus, every 4 years when you renew your license, you have to take a physical driver's test.
Yeah.
And they're wanting to change that to eliminate that. At the top end. I bring this up because you constantly write about the people speeding and the bad drivers that are everywhere. I'd argue that I could probably be sold on a 4-year driver's test for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I really think I could, you know, even though I would hate it and it would be an inconvenience and I don't feel like I should have to because of my driving record, I think maybe we could make the case everybody should have to take a driver's test every 4 years.
You know, I think that's what I resent. You know, I'm an older person. I've had cataract surgery and that, drive to work all the time, run a business and everything else. So I don't really have a problem passing a test. I kind of resent, you know, having at my stage now in life, every 2 years I have to go and take a driver's test. You know, and last time I went, rode around, we talked, you know,
sure.
no big deal.
No one's taking your license,
yeah.
Paul.
I think what I resent is I'm the only one many times on the road driving the speed limit, not running a red light, and cars are blowing by me, and they can order their license online. They don't even have to go up there.
But don't we have to have some? I mean, we do it on the other end. I mean, you got to be 16. I'm sure you can find 15-year-olds that are capable of driving a car. At the end of the day, they're arbitrary numbers. What I worry about is the Secretary of State's office always kind of acted as the bad guy for family situations that were tough.
Yeah.
And you know people where the kids know the parents shouldn't still be. I mean, and it becomes a big family deal.
Well, and I've seen, and you probably have too, I've seen elderly people, and I say elderly, I don't know what age they were, barely walk across the street here. And then I'd see them get in the car and drive off. And I wondered, like, wow, you could barely move and yet you could drive. And I think, you know, I don't know. I think in my case, you know, I have a medical checkup every 6 months,
yeah.
You know, and the doctor asks, you know, how I am overall,
right.
Gives a report. Maybe something like that is in order to, if you'd want to avoid something like saying, hey, this
opt
is
in.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. We were talking about privacy issues and, you know, what that would mean, you know, because we're going to get to a point where, and my problem on the other end of all this is I see the need. You have to have some rules. You have to, because yeah. People don't follow them even when you have rules. And there could be such a big difference to more people of a certain age between 1 year and 4 years than people in their 30s. I mean, I just think overall statistically. So you got to have some numbers, and they're probably not ever going to make everyone happy. But what I don't see in life is any correlation of rewarding good behavior. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I don't get a bunch of speeding tickets and I don't get in a lot of wrecks, why am I paying more and more and more for insurance?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. My insurance went up a couple $100.
But for no other reason, right?
Yeah.
And so if we could set up a system that would reward good behavior and then cause bad behavior to have to jump through more hoops, I think you could sell that to everyone.
Yeah, and I think the, you know, the bottom line when you look at this, I think the new Secretary of State has really streamlined a lot of the process that we have. I think it's freed up a lot of the centers where you go to take your driver's test. You used to have long, long lines. A lot of those people now are ordering their stickers and that, you know, by sure. email and that. So that's kind of freed that up. I'm also anxious to find out how this appointment system works. Instead of going there and like waiting forever to take your driver's test for 10 minutes,
yep.
you know, can you set an appointment? And apparently they're implementing that. I think the local driver's license facility is a part of that. You can set up an appointment. You go there. Take
it's what
your
you do with everything else.
Yeah. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And what I've always dreaded is not like taking a driver's test or anything. I dread going there and waiting for 2 hours and wasting my time.
And they're still making people stand outside.
Yeah, in the cold. Yeah.
They still have COVID regulations in place.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's in cold weather. You go out there a lot of times and there's a line out the door and it's like zero outside.
Right.
You know, I think I'd be too cold to drive once I got inside. But I will admit, I think changes needed to be made in the Secretary of State's office, and I think a lot has been done in the last year to streamline this process. I think they're probably feeling their way through to see what else we can do. I think there are just a lot of drivers that probably should be taking a driver's test that are driving recklessly, and certainly there are seniors that should not be driving. But I can tell you from firsthand knowledge of people, there are people who do not get their license and they're senior citizens. They drive anyway, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, but I think there's also so many more options now with ride shares and Uber. I mean, there's a way to still be mobile in life today that didn't exist beyond getting on a bus 30 years ago.
Well, I think the most important thing to a senior citizen is access to getting somewhere. You know, when I lose my driver's license, you know, you lose your freedom. You depend on other people for anything you want to do then to get there. And I think that's the scary part for
Absolutely.
A lot of seniors. And I understand that myself. I've been fortunate to keep driving and that, no accidents, no tickets. But I know how it would change my life, you know, if I no longer had a license.
All right. Well, Paul, stay safe. Watch out for traffic. I was driving in this morning thinking about this topic because, I'm not going to sit and say that I always go the speed limit like Paul, but I'm coming down the road. You know, it's early. There's not a lot of traffic out when I come to work. And for some reason today, there were like three cars in front of me, and fine. But then a guy or gal, I don't know, behind me who was going to ride my bumper. There's three cars in front. I don't know where you want me to go. And you're probably right. Probably 35, you know.
Yeah.
Make this person take a test every 4 years. I think I could be had on that argument.
Yeah, that's the other side of it, I think. Yeah. So,
but the problem is that guy can act like he goes the speed limit when he's in a car for 15 minutes with a guy from the DMV.
Yeah. I don't know. I think of the people that do these driver's tests, like Paul Lynn on Bewitched. Remember, he always wore a helmet. Got in. He was so nervous.
All right. We've gone from Tamale Man to Bewitched, kids. Look it up. There's a thing called Wikipedia. Paul, as always, great to see you. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.